Hopefully everybody should have an outline. It should say the power of a father's blessing. And I'd like to say, just to start with, happy Father's Day, but also just encourage you, dads, and maybe everybody, but especially the dads today, to remind you of not only are you special, but you're very powerful, and what you say makes a big difference. And your blessing makes a big difference. And the way your relationship with the Lord unfolds make a huge difference in lots of people's lives. And I think sometimes dads don't know that enough. They do a lot. They're working hard. And this is Dad's Day, Father's Day. But I want to talk about this. And I'm hoping that a great spirit of encouragement would be on us, especially you men, about their role as a father. And how powerful they really are, not only in their own family, but just as a citizen of the kingdom. And especially in areas that maybe you wouldn't think you had that much power. You know, I think sometimes women seem to gravitate toward intercessory prayer more or blessing more in terms of using their mouth to bless and, you know, be kind and that sort of thing. But it turns out that this is also very, very unique father territory. And sometimes I think dads are so busy making a living and doing the things they do, they forget the power in their tongue unless it goes the wrong way. They say something negative and they're reminded how powerful their tongue can be, right? But not enough about how powerful they are to bless people. This is one thing that I've noticed through the years that it's just been absolutely astounding to me of how many men don't realize how really powerful they are for what they say. Obviously, we all know how powerful we are when we screw up and we make a bad statement, we do something wrong, right? But I'm talking about in the positive gear, the power you have to bless someone, the power you have to bless your wife, your children, and just all of us all together. It's a lesson for all of us. But because it's Father's Day, I wanted to especially highlight this, and we see it really all through the Scriptures. So hopefully you have an outline. It should say the power of a father's blessing. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I just encourage you men to really take this seriously because, I don't know, when I see a promise in the Bible, I don't think of it ever as a burden. I think of it as an incredible opportunity. And if I'm going to walk with God and I see a promise that's available to me, whoever I am, whether I'm sick or well, or whatever place I'm in, just this book is full of promises that actually are activated by faith and prayer. Often with our mouth and our heart. We believe in our heart and we declare it with our mouth. And this causes things to shake. I think sometimes I give this example, you know, even in many church circles, if there was some obvious demonized person or you were aware that they were a witch doctor or some weird person and everything, and they said something to you that was a curse, well, some of us might ignore that, but a lot of us, it would really, really bother us. It'd really trouble us. We'd think about it all the time. We'd be looking around every corner to make sure nothing happened to us, right? But how about a blessing? I wonder if on the other side, do we think of God's blessing? It's so dynamic that if it actually somebody does bless us or something does happen where we feel like we're receiving a blessing from God, from the Scriptures or from the Word of God, how does that affect us? And more importantly, then, how does our attention to one another and what we say to one another affect each other? And especially as we say it in faith or in a sense of as from the Lord way. So I want to talk about that today because the power, particularly on this Father's Day of a father's blessing, is more powerful than I ever knew. I see it amplifying in my faith and in my understanding year by year. As a younger person, I understood this from the Scriptures, but now I understand it even better. The power I have to bless someone is really quite amazing, and not because of my position necessarily, just because of my place as a man of God and as a dad. And I just want to get at that today, and I want to get to all the men here, whether you're a dad or not, because all of us have the power to bless with our tongue, to bless those that are younger than us, those that need help, don't need encouragement. And I think we're all very, very aware of someone that says something that's not so encouraging, you know, from what do we hear on the news to whether we hear it out of a person's mouth. We all like to hear encouraging news. And so I want to talk about that, being encouragers, being blessers, realizing the power of our tongue to really help us to bless one another. I think it makes a huge difference. Even when we think about how Jesus gave a revelation of prayer, one of the most astounding things in the Scripture is it says in the Scripture, if two of you agree about anything, it'll be done for you in prayer, right? I mean, two of you agreeing in prayer. So what you're doing is you're blessing someone in prayer. You know, you could go the wrong way with it, I suppose, too, but agreeing together for a result is an incredible thing. So this whole thing of blessing and changing our environment, and we're talking about fathers specifically today, but it goes for everybody. And so I want to talk about the power of a father's a blessing here today. So first of all, we just, like I've been mentioning, we have to recognize the power has given that God has given specifically now, because it's Father's Day, and also this is a specific revelation in the Scripture of how fathers have power to bless, the power that God gives them to bless another human being, and especially their wife and their children, I would say, especially. Some of us are trying to recover for years from things that people have said that weren't so nice to us, and especially dads that weren't so nice to us. So I think probably with regard to our walk in the Lord, wouldn't it be smarter to give much more emphasis on the power of a dad to bless us and to think about that, the power of a person to bless us and what that means? Now, we're very aware if someone says something negative to us, but wonder if someone says something positive. Do we give it the same weight? And if God's greater than the devil, right, if powers of good are much stronger than the powers, I mean exponentially more than the powers of darkness, then shouldn't our mouth and what we say have exponentially more power than if someone says something negative? Even on the news, we see somebody say something negative or whatever, you know, it affects us. So, but what about when things are said positively to us? Do we register it the same way? I think if we would, and if we do, you've hit upon a very, very key a point of walking with God in your life. And also an understanding that the body of Christ, isn't that amazing? God calls us the body of Christ. Isn't that weird? That, I mean, Jesus Christ came in the form of flesh, right? He was crucified, dead and buried, rose again. His body is extremely important. And then for us to call, for him to call us the body of Christ, and that he gives spiritual gifts so that we can, in the name of Jesus, through Jesus, bless each other? Isn't that a credible possibility there? More than possibility. Everything in the kingdom hinges on your faith, including the power and the thought to bless, right? And to carry that out with your mouth. So I don't see Eddie Piorek here, and I know he's been sick. So he's a father in the Lord to our church. I'm just going to take a moment and pray for him. Lord, I ask you for Eddie Piorek today, who actually has emphasized this understanding of Father so much and given it to our church and to so many others. I just bless him today. I pray the Father's love would rest on him. I pray you'd encourage him. I pray all the sickness and things that are attacking his body would leave. We bless you, Eddie, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, let's just corporately do this. So we got several hundred people here. Let's just say we bless you in the name of Jesus. We're going to say it this way. We bless you, Eddie, in the name of Jesus. Let's say it out loud three times, okay? We bless you, Eddie, in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Eddie, in the name of Jesus. We bless you, Eddie, in the name of Jesus. I thought we'd do that today. All right. Again, I was sitting there thinking, I wonder if you got singled out and you had a couple hundred people say, we curse you into da-da-da-da, right? What would that do to you? How would you feel? I know people that positively freak out for 3 weeks about that, right? But wonder if we say, we bless you. Wonder if our speech is good to you. So we have tremendous power this way, more power than the other way, more power than the dark side, right? So in the Scriptures, you can look at your outline if you like and follow along with me. God reveals himself as a father. And so we're going to I just want to talk about this, recognizing the power God has given fathers to bless, but God himself reveals himself as a father. That's why the first part of our prayer is our Father who art in heaven. But in the basic family structure, also God uses us to release His authority on earth, right? And the family is the basic structure for that. And so blessing our children is an incredibly important thing, right? And we read Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 15. For this reason I kneel before the Father, look at that, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. So every family has a name, an identity, but all of it comes from the Father in heaven, right? And so then he mentions that. Then he talks about praying out of His glorious riches. And it's so important that all of us draw our identity from a good father. And then the structure of fathering, then it passes on to parents, fathers, and mothers, right? So honoring fathers and mothers, like we're doing today, and as we talk, and as we have a Father's Day, I mean, it's a holiday too, but I think it's a special day to actually honor fathers, and when we get to Mother's Day, Mother's Day. But look what it says when we do that in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So he singles that out. Now, we've got lots of commandments that are promises, lots of promises in the Bible. But he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So of all the promises we've been given, this commandment to honor father and mother, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's an incredible thing. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So when you honor your father and mother, something special happens, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So look at Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. These are important passages of Scripture. If Scripture doesn't mean anything, it's just sort of a, like, guide, that's one thing. But the Bible says that about itself that it's living and active. And even with regard to blessing, isn't it interesting if, again, I said this before, but if someone comes up and absolutely rails and curses on you, how it makes you feel. But if somebody absolutely rails a blessing on you and just tells you you're the greatest thing since whatever, you know, that should really encourage us. We should take it with much weight that someone cared enough to bless us. But then again, as we bring fathers and mothers into this thing, and when they begin to do it and understand how to bless, understand the power of their mouth, and that the people underneath them understand that, you've got something really powerful, because the entire world runs on faith, the word of the kingdom, the rule of the kingdom. And so if we have power in our ability to bless, given to us by God, like we mentioned with honor, fathers and mothers, so we actually find a key to blessing. We find an opportunity to bless others, but also to receive the weight of a person's blessing over us and to appreciate it. I'm just beginning to understand this more and more. You know, I'm getting a little older. I don't know if anybody noticed, but anyway, I've noticed, and I think about this more now than I do ever, not only that my power to bless someone, but through whom I've been blessed through the years, people who blessed me, people that encouraged me, people with their tongue, you know, said I could do it, you know, both my mother and my father, but also other authority figures. So this is a big deal. It's a really big deal. Look what Malachi 4, 5, or 6 says. See, I send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. So it's so important that we have something so big. It's on the one side destruction, on the other side hearts of parents to their children, hearts of the children to their parents, blessing each other, encouraging one another, loving one another, right? And Elijah's there before, so he's taking Elijah, and then the next phrase, this blessing of parents to their children and children to their parents and this back and forth thing. So it's very, very powerful, even in connection as we look at, even I think it's interesting that these verses are all together. They're connected together. You know, the great day of the Lord, you know, and all of our blessing, that's the greatest blessing that could come of all when Jesus comes back, when God consummates time and space. But along the way, this turning of the hearts of their parents, parents their children, and what we say to one another is incredibly powerful. Don't ever underestimate it. Many times with regard to our counseling, we have to really, one by one sometimes, undo things that were spoken about us and to us years ago by a dad or a mom. You know, they might not have meant it particularly the way they did, but some of us even can even feel it today. Even as I say that, you remember something negative, something that someone said. You almost feel like they crippled you somehow. Well, you know what? You don't have to wear that. You can undo that. But I just say it to underline again, if that can happen in the negative, what about when an authority figure and a father or a mother, today's Father's Day, says something kind to you, says something good to you? I remember even as a child, my dad telling me that I could do certain things. And when he told me I could do certain things, I just thought, okay, I'm good at that. And I fulfilled that word by just continuing on in the confidence that my dad gave me, even when I was little, 5, 6, 7 years old. He said, I remember things he said to me. Hey, you're really good at that. You should do more of that. Hey, good job. I like the way you do that. Now, on the other side, sometimes we didn't have dads. We didn't have moms. But God's made provision for all of that. So on the one hand, we have others that we can bless now in our time and the relationships. But also we need to understand that the Lord really, really, really wants to bless you. And so if we talk about the power of a father's blessing, we're talking about an opportunity here, not a heavy burden. For me, it's just such a good thing for me to bless my kids and bless whoever I possibly can, you know. I know the power of the tongue, and to release a blessing is such a gift to me, such a lovely thing that I get to do, and you get to do it too, right? Encourage one another, the Bible says, day after day, while it's still the day, you know, all of these things. So, but we're talking about Father's Day, so we'll just turn our attention a little bit to that as we go through the Bible here. Let's look at Roman number 2. Our ability to bless our children starts with faith. Abraham received blessings and then released blessings to his offspring by believing. And this is really, really important, believing. Everything starts with believing. So it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to believe it. But the scripture is very clear that the ancients understood. They actually believed their power. And with God's power, when he spoke to them, with blessing. And, of course, the other side as well. But look what it says to Abraham. And look what God says to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, what a word to receive. But the thing about it is, Abraham believed God, the scripture says, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. He believed the very word that he said, I'm going to make you in a great nation. Now, Abraham's nothing yet. And he has to go a long way, Ur of the Chaldees. It's a long way that he went to Canaan. I think you could get the distance somewhere between the coast here, the west coast, and maybe right as you get to the Arizona-New Mexico border, if you were to take that trip. That's how far he had to go to this land of blessing. Can you imagine? And in those days, traveling like that was difficult. People took advantage of travelers like that all the time. So this man had tremendous faith, but he simply believed in a blessing that God gave him. He believed in a promise. And when people bless us and when God blesses us, when we see promises in the Bible, I don't think we pay attention enough to blessing. Now, if somebody curses us, we see a curse in the Bible, we shudder. But do you shudder under the power of a blessing? Oh, my goodness, that guy blessed me. Oh, my goodness, that's what this guy said. God said this about me. That's why prophecy can be so powerful. Prophecy is nothing more than the activated gift of blessing people, giving people the good news. We're not pretending to be Old Testament or New Testament prophets, but prophecy as a gift, even in the New Testament, is front and center. Because with the power of the tongue, we have a power to bless each other. And a father blessing their children is even more dramatic. as we see. So you fathers, on Father's Day, I want to let you know that your mouth, your tongue is loaded with blessing, far more than you know, especially when you release something to your children in faith. It means a lot in the heavens, and it means a lot to that child, even though they might not make a big deal of it. But you need to be making a big deal of it. You need to be careful about what you say to your children, both negatively or positively. And don't put labels on them. Don't put negative stamps on them. You want them to become this special person and give them all the encouragement you can possibly give, because in that word of encouragement, there's tremendous blessing. I think you could all remember things that were said to you by parents or authority figures that were negative. I mean, we remember those sometimes for a lifetime. When I counsel people, it's amazing how people remember the slightest detail of what a father said or a mother said, but that's important to know that. That's important. So as we speak to one another, we can use this all to our advantage. And dads, you can use this to your advantage. How much is coming out of your mouth is a blessing, and how much of your mouth is coming out of your mouth is a critical spirit. Now, I know sometimes critically we don't want them to make a mistake. We don't want them to go the wrong way. But I tell you what, blessing them can do the same thing. You just have to frame it right and encourage them, and especially when they're down, and actually recognize that whatever you say to them goes a long way. Goes a long way. Sometimes we don't even believe that, right? So I want to just read, look at your outline, Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield, your very great shield, reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You've given me no children, so a servant of my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. He said to him, So shall your offspring be. This is critical. Now, God's blessing Abraham here. He's making a promise. I tell you, the world revolves, the spiritual world and your practical world revolves around accepting the blessing of God. You can get many of these blessings right out of the scriptures, but the blessing of God is so powerful when you see it in a scripture and you grab that for yourself, or when God speaks to you from a scripture about your life, it's so powerful. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now that's a theme that carries into the New Testament, that our belief in Jesus Christ, our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, imputes righteousness to us because God took the sins of the whole world on him. So when we confess our sins, it's one of the greatest things that we can do. Lord, I did it, but, you know, I'm righteous. I did it. But also the righteousness that comes from believing, trusting in God's promises. When we believe God, it's credited to us as righteousness. And righteousness is good. Unrighteousness is bad. I think we understand that, because righteousness comes with promises and all kinds of grace about your life and blessing that'll come to you. Unrighteousness comes with all kinds of problems. When we believe the Lord about something positive he's saying about us, a promise that's for us specifically. Like, for example, all my children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. Amen. That's a blessing. Now, the question is whether you believe that or not, or you're depressed or discouraged or whatever. See, the thing is, that's the Father blessing you with the scripture, and you need to get a hold of that. I wonder if I said that right there. All my children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be their shalom. Shalom means peace, but not just in the inner peace, but every part of their life. Peace in their finances, peace in their marriage, peace in their life, right? So this believing the Lord and the promises that God gives to us is incredibly important. It's actually credited to us as righteousness, a promise God's given us, a promise that we can take for the scripture and apply to our family or our life. Dads, your ability to take the scriptures and the promises of scripture and apply them over your kids is one of the most powerful things you can do. Say to them, you know, I'm believing this for you, son. This is what it says. If I agree, me and your mother are agreeing about anything, it'll be done. First of all, second of all, listen, I think that God wants to say this to you. And this is a scripture I think is for you. I believe all your children will be taught of the Lord, and great is going to be their peace. Son, I want you to know God's prosperity is for you. God's going to help you. He's going to give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. These sort of things, oh, They are so powerful. And if we could be walking blessers, whether we're men or women, it's really important. But I think, honestly, that men are a little shorter on this. They're a little less understanding of this. They're a little even, maybe a little self-critical a little bit. They don't understand the power of their tongue. They don't understand the spiritual realm of it, I think, as much as women do. And I think we need to understand this, because in these places we can actually find great fruitfulness in our life. So Abraham was told about his calling, and he believed God. And God said, okay, this is a righteous man. He believed my promise. Now, nothing had even happened yet. But because he believed, it put him in a new standing with God. I think we all want to be in that standing, right? Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. So Abraham, in his belief, foreshadowed faith in Jesus. So Romans 4, 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Oh my. It becomes this incredible, historical, famous person, because he believed in a promise. And so because he believed, now this is a long distance between when he actually became the father of many nations. But he believed that, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. So he'd been given this promise, but he had no kids. And now he's 100 years old. Yet somehow he's able to believe the promise. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. This is what's going on behind the scenes, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. When was it credited to him as righteousness? Before it even happened. Something lined up with God. This great father, the father of Israel, the father, Father Abraham, we call him, had a promise from God. He believed it, and God said, that's a righteous man. And then what followed was amazing blessing. I'm wondering if we can afford not to hear God's promises. I'm wondering if we can afford not to have faith that God still speaks. The scriptures are full of promises. They're there for the taking. That's why reading your Bible isn't just a discipline. It's a promise book. And guess what it does? It makes you into a person who has promises to be fulfilled. Things credited to you as righteousness in your walk. You see something in the scripture, you say, I'll take that. That's for me. That's why the scriptures were written. That's why we have so many of them. We're written from every kind of life, every kind of background, every kind of situation. And all the same, the righteous shall live by faith. But it's not just that you live by faith and that you're righteous in the sense of like you do everything perfect. It's you take promises that are given to you by God and you believe them and you follow through with that belief and trust. And as you believe God for that, those things, you take a journey with the Lord. And we take that journey of faith with the Lord, things come to pass and you become fruitful. So the power of our ability to receive blessing from God and promises, but also on top of that, there's something else that's added to it. When we become a person of promise, we also become good at releasing the same sort of encouragement to our sons and our daughters. And our tongue becomes extremely powerful. And we're going to see the power of the tongue to bless children is incredibly powerful. I'm going to just keep reading this just a little bit further. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So we believed that we are righteous, we are saved, that we walk with God. We are sons and daughters of God, not on our own might, because of what Jesus did for us. And faith makes the transaction. If we mess up, we make a mistake, we confess our sins, and we say we're sorry. But sometimes we say that and we don't mean it. We don't mean it in the sense of forgiveness. We confess it, but we don't believe that God's letting us off the hook. We carry a cloud around with us from our sin. What a stupid, stupid thing to do, to carry your sins with you and mistakes you made in the past. Very, very dumb. Why? Because we need to think of forward gear more than we do reverse gear. Look, you were made to be a blessing. You're made to bless other people. How can you bless another person when you don't even feel like you're blessed yourself? When you feel you have no blessing and nothing to offer? You just walk around. I know so many fathers, so many men that walk away around with an inferiority complex. Oh, maybe not about their golf score, although there's very few of those that would be proud of their golf score, I got to say that, but or some other thing. But I'm talking about in the real meaningful things of life, their ability to do business with the living God. That's a really important thing. What better thing than to believe God's ability to bless me and for my ability to bless another person? That's what prayer is all about. Do you know that? Just praying for a person is blessing a person. And your faith to do that and do it dutifully, even when you gather together with another person. Matter of fact, the two most powerful people in prayer should be a husband and wife that agree together about their children. But how is it, dads, that you're always on the tail end of that? You're always having your wife goad you to pray. Is that insane living? No, it's stupid living. Dumb, dumb, dumb. No, I'm serious. Don't be dumb, guys. You've got something on your tongue that can bless the whole world. And especially those underneath you, use it. No, you're not worthy. That's why you got Jesus. Confess your sins. Get rid of all that. Say, Lord, I did it. Sorry. No, let's do some business. That's what he wants you to do. Exactly. No, he wants me to moan around, you know, make myself look bad, think bad, have an inferiority complex about my life for, you know, a couple of months before, until the failure that I did leaves my mind. No, you don't have time to do that. When you make a mistake, say, I did it, God, sorry. Apologize to anybody around you need to do it and go on blessing. Because God needs your tongue to bless other people. He needs your faith to bless other people, your fathers. And Abraham foreshadows all of this. Abraham called out to confidence to the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. And this is what we're really talking about here. So look at Romans chapter 4, verses 16 to 17. Let's see this again. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so it may be by grace, may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. So Father Abraham is an example, is what I'm going to say to all of us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He's the father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So Abraham believed God for his promise despite his age. He was old. And God told him, you're going to be the father of nations. But what about us, this line? Doesn't that intrigue you? The God who gives life to the dead and calls to being things that were not. That's who Abraham believed. That's who you believe. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. How do you do that? You do it through prayer. You do it through faith in your prayer. That your faith in the word that you speak has blessing in it. Oh, the power of a father's blessing. That gives life to the dead and calls it a being things that were not. Many a time in a counseling appointment where I've had someone that is utterly destroyed in their faith, utterly weak, just feel so small about themselves. And I've watched as my tongue encouraged them. I've watched them literally change and morph in front of my eyes and begin to take it, that word that I'm giving him. The power of a father, the power of a person to bless another person with a word of encouragement, especially as a believer, is unparalleled. We all know about what it feels like to be dissed in some way, but I'm not sure we understand on a supernatural level, and I've got to emphasize supernatural level, what it is to be a blesser. And dads especially, what it is to bless your kids. And so what comes out of your mouth is so extremely important. Even when it looks like they're dissing you, they're not even listening to you. But when you bless them, they're listening. When you bless them, they'll listen. They may not look like it on the outside. But whether they're listening or not, just remember, your power to bless given to you by Almighty God is more than you could imagine. So even if they don't look like they're listening, it doesn't matter. You still bless them because they won't forget. And even if they do forget, God won't forget. You're a blessing over others, right? Abraham believed God for his promise despite his age. You know, you're going to be this great father and he's too old to have kids. Yet look what happened. Abraham believed God for the blessing of his son even when it looked like he was going to die. From the earliest time, the Jews have understood the power of a father's blessing. And this is something that I think it would just behoove us to gain as part of our spiritual heritage. From the very beginning, we see it from the very beginning of Genesis. We see this power of the ability to bless. And man, this is, we know about all the failures and things, but let's just take this and run with it, you know, for our own lives. You know, we are part of, by extension of ancient Israel and Abraham. He's the father of all who believe. Here we got a bunch of believers in here. Be it most of us Gentiles, but that's the part of the whole thing. One nation for all the nation. One father for the many fathers, right? Father God first, and then the father Abraham, and then from there, the offspring, right? Genesis chapter 27, 1 to 13. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak, this is his son, Abraham's son, and they could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and then go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me." So he does that and brings the food back. Now Rebekah, his wife's listening to Isaac speak to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.'" Blessing of the Lord. This is a cherished thing. They understood the significance of this. They understood that when that father blessed that son, that it was going to be. Right? So be it. "Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock," and you know, this is Rebekah telling her son, "go get him two young goats, prepare some tasty food for your father just like he likes, and take it to your father so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, and they're conniving here, "My brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and he would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." Now, just before I go any farther, I think a lot of us know what the rest of the story is, but think about this, how these people are thinking of what comes out of your mouth. It would behoove all of us to understand this. They understood, they believed, the ancients understood that what came out of an authority figure's mouth or anybody's mouth, blessing or curse, is a big deal. We don't pay attention enough to that, especially the way we talk to others. We don't understand. The scripture even says in the New Testament, and the old, the power of the tongue, how it can create and destroy, but literally create reality like an inheritance, like blessing for the centuries, for years to go on, is hard for us to grasp, but it's a spiritual reality, right? And even today, I think about this all the time as I think about the events in the Middle East today. Think of the collection of words and promises that are spoken over the nations that are involved in these things. They're ancient. They're thousands of years old. Things are playing out that are thousands of years old, and how it ends up, I'm not entirely clear, but I know I'd probably place my bets on Israel and the people of God. If I was a betting person, right? More importantly, if I'm a believing person. And if you understand the scriptures, you understand what I'm talking about. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother and prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked. All right, so he does this whole thing, right? And then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said, "I am Esau, your firstborn." He's pretending to be Esau. "I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of the game so that you may give me your blessing." Now, what's amazing about this, they're conniving. Now, I don't understand all the theology behind this. All I know is that these people had to understand. This is the thing I'm trying to get a hold of. What is the sermon called? the power of a father's blessing. So this woman understands the power of a father's blessing. So she'll do anything to get it to the what she considers the righteous son, even though he's younger. And Isaac says, how'd you get this so quickly? Well, the Lord gave me some success. I mean, wow. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my Esau or not. Jacob went close to his father, touched him, and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he proceeded to bless him. Then he says, are you really my son Esau? I am, he said. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you blessing, my blessing. Now, there's a backdrop to all this. And one of the backdrops to all of this is Esau didn't care about spiritual things. Esau didn't really care about things like he should have. He didn't have the fear of God in him. Rebekah knew it, but the father, Isaac, was following protocol the way it was done through the generations as the firstborn. Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, oh, the smell of my son. They're not really his clothes, right? But look what he says. Oh, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Now, he is saying this with a straight face. He realizes the power of his tongue has the ability to create this. Everybody knew it. Everybody understood. On this side of the resurrection, I think it's still important to understand the power of your words. When you pray to Jesus and you talk to him, you have more to say than you think. And when you declare things out of the prayer room, from the scriptures that are promises to you, they're more powerful and alive than you think. They are the very words of God. And there's so many promises that we can pray over each other and bless each other with, both each other and bless ourselves with. So he's blessing, and this actually, everything that he said, regardless of how it came about, the blessing was real. He carried this blessing in him. It was so real and powerful. It's underlined how powerful our words are. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you, which happened. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you, which happened. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed, and it happened. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. And obviously, Isaac trembles greatly because he realizes he blessed the wrong guy. But the most amazing thing is that he didn't rescind it. There was no second plan. Right? And he says, well, that's it. I gave the blessing. Even when he said, don't you have a blessing for me? Does it even seem right? But the thing is that we should get behind all this, regardless of patriarchal activity and stuff, is the power of our ability and the power of the tongue, which the Bible says can burn down a whole forest. But what about the power of a tongue and the inspiration of the Lord to bless somebody? Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I think a lot of us would say, if somebody came out and said, be sick in the name of Jesus, whoever, whatever God, we'd believe that more. We would cower in our corner, afraid, and try to get it off of us as fast as we can. Somebody blesses an ordinary believer in the name of Jesus, and oh, nice prayer, you know. I don't really believe the word you said, but nice prayer, right? We don't really take into consideration the power of our ability to bless one another, and it's right there in the scriptures, and it's not just in one place, it's all over the place. So we look at Jacob blessing his sons before he died. Now we're moving forward here. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. So he's blessing them, but he's blessing them with a prophetic word. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel. So he begins to bless them. And one example of this blessing, now he's got all these sons. So this is Jacob who became Israel, right? He's got these 12 tribes in him and all of his sons, and he's blessing them one by one. And I want you to notice what he said to Joseph. I mean, think about this for a moment. I want you to think, obviously we're thinking on cosmic scales that was really for the ages, something that was by the direct hand of God intervening. But the principle is still the same. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what comes out of your tongue to bless or curse makes a big difference.
but especially your ability to bless your own children, your own family, your own household. That's both men and women. All of us have that, right? So look what he says about him. And this is exactly what came to pass. And wonder if we said positive things over our kids. You know what? I think sometimes moms are better at this than dads. That's why I'm addressing to it. I mean, even we see with regard to Rebecca and Jacob, or who's Jacob married to? I get the Rebecca. Rachel or Rebecca? What? Huh? Okay. Anyway, mom. I'm having a little senior moment here. Anyway, mom. Mothers, women sometimes recognize and understand things better than guys do. They understand the consequences. They understand the need for the father and the life and the blessing and their own need to bless. And you know, I can remember so many times my dad was gone a lot. He was a salesman. He traveled a huge territory. So there were a lot of hours that my mom, you know, was sort of with us and stuff. But I can still to this day remembering my mom. She thinks to herself, you know, he needs to do more of this. So, she takes me to the Little League field. Or she takes me out, you should go golfing a little bit, you know. We'll get some clubs and stuff. I'll find some, you know. Or little ideas like that. When she thought I needed something that I didn't have, man, all those hours when my dad was gone, she was always thinking of what we needed, what would be kind of good for us to do, you know, for our future. I love that about moms. But dads, do we think like that? Oh, it's so important to be thinking creatively about our kids. What would be good for them? I mean, I'm not a manipulative, controlling way, but like an invitation way. And I think from fathers, to hear that creativity, that thing of, you know, it's such a blessing when dads do that with their children. And I'm just going to reinforce that to you. It's very, very powerful and this powerful this day. And guess what? It doesn't age just because you're older now and they're older. No way. I've found just the opposite. What I say to my kids still means a lot, especially what I say to them positively. It means a lot to them. They listen far more than I thought they did. Oh, they're even their stage, you know, where they're, you know, feeling their oats and getting a little stronger and, you know, college, all that. They're still listening. And even today, they still listen. They don't pretend, and the guy, kids, the boys especially, don't pretend like they don't, but they do. And it's so important that we understand that so much with regard to our children, right, both fathers and mothers. So here's Jacob prophesying over his kids, right? Look what he says. He goes through every one of them, tells them what's going to happen and everything. Look what he says. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. But his bow remained steady and his arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings. He's speaking this over his son, Jacob, over Joseph. Blessings of the deep springs below, blessings of the breast and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains and the bounty of the age-old hills. That all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. Benjamin, and then he goes on to Benjamin, as a ravenous wolf. In the morning he devours his prey, in the evening he divides the plunder. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them, and when he blessed them, give them each the blessing appropriate to them. Now, what happened to Joseph? He's got this incredible blessing. All his brothers are jealous. And guess what? They sell him. Get rid of this guy. I'm sick of dad liking him more than us. So they sell him. He ends up in Egypt. He ends up in the bottom of a dungeon. But the words of his dad didn't stop. Before you know it, those words caught up with him. Before you know it, he's right next to the whole king of Egypt. Before you know it, he's the deliverer for Israel. What his father prophesied over him came to pass. Oh, man, and under the anointing. I just think even the power of a father's blessing, we should take these scriptures and go, wow, it's important what I say to my sons and my daughters. It's important to what I say as a spiritual father to my sons and my daughters. It's not just, you know, Mickey Mouse sort of hope it happens. What comes out of your tongue has life and death in it. Just dads, I just encourage you to remember that no matter what, even when your sons or your daughters aren't doing so great, you know, trying to say and bless them as much as possible. Warn them, yes, but I think probably if we're going to balance anything out, the blessing's far more important than even the warning of affirming them, encouraging them, exhorting them. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it, right? So look at the last thing, Roman numeral 3, the wisdom of tenderness. Many fathers seriously underestimate the power they have to bless or wound the ones they love the most. We've been mentioning that. But this blessing and wounding part is something that I think is really important for us to understand. Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Why is that? Because sometimes harshness can turn into cursing, can actually produce the wrong result. Now, I'm not saying you could not have a healthy argument here and there, but I'm talking about this harshness that this absolutely destroys a woman and actually destroys anybody, but especially in that relationship. Part of it is because you have so much authority that you didn't even think you had. You thought you could be harsh indiscriminately and it wouldn't cause damage. It causes far more damage than you know. Even empowers demons to do the worst, right? So it's important how we speak to our those closest as children. Obey your parents and everything. For this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Could it be, dads and moms, that we have more problems than we know of our own making? We just didn't understand. And if we understood and were careful about maybe cursing, maybe the other side, if that's so true, then what about blessing? What about blessing? When we bless our kids, could it be that if cursing can cause such problems in them, what if I bless them? Greater He is in me than He is in the world. God's greater than any satanic thing or any demonic thing. So if this is possible to cause people great harm by our cursing, what about our blessing, right? Children, obey your parents. This is Ephesians 6, 1. And the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So there it is, the opposite way. When we bless our parents and we're careful how we honor them, look at that. That it may go bless, that it may be well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, there are dads and moms that are absolutely horrible, but there's something about it, about the relationship, that even if they're horrible and bad, be careful how you talk about them so that it might go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I've been around a whole lot of people with a whole lot of family dysfunction. And I tell you, one thing I've come away with, I got to say, respecting the most, is when I see people whose parents have been absolutely horrible to them, yet staying in a place of honor with them, even though horrible was said and done. I admire people so much like that. But they're actually blessing themselves as they're careful with that, right? But after all, they're the ones that God brought in your life. They're the ones. They're your father and your mother, right? So that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then here again, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So what we're saying is that we bless and curse one another, especially in the family relationships, makes all the difference in the world, right? Usually we get in trouble underestimating the power we have to bless our kids because we've not experienced much of the inbreaking of the Father's love in our own heart. So we're sort of bitter ourselves and haven't felt the love of God. One of the greatest things that could ever experience, a person could ever experience, is experience the love of God, to feel God absolutely loves them and accepts them, and that I can confess my sins and God forgives me, and that God really has it good, and that all things are working together for my good. And the reason why is because when we have that, we actually are much more apt then to bless somebody else, to actually be a positive effect in somebody else's life, right? Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 shows us how deeply God wants to touch us. See, he says, talking about building ourselves up in our most holy faith. But I want to just read these. Oh, that's in 4. I want to go back to, I'm at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. About what Jesus did for us. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them, this is both Jews and Gentiles, to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came. Oops. Man, I'm getting messed up. Now I'm in 2. Well, those are all good scriptures too. Now, let's go to the right one. Good grief. I went from 4 to 2. Now I'm at 3. I think I've got it dialed in now. Okay, here we go. Those are all good stuff too, all right? Here it is. 3C, 3, 14 and 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from every family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Okay, why I said that? Because it's hard to be a blesser if you don't understand how high, how deep, how wide is the love of Christ. That he's for you, not against you. That this rooting and establishing love he's praying for, he's saying, I want you to know how dearly the Father loves you. We know that he gave us his only Son, but on an experiential basis, I want you to grasp. If you could just grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, if you could just get that, how deeply God wants to go, this love that surpasses knowledge, and he could be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, then guess what? He's able to do immeasurably more than you could ask or think. All of that right there, the reason why I said that is because when you feel loved like that, you become tender. And you become tender, you start blessing other people. A lot of it, the root of it is because we're not more tender, don't say more kind things and more blessings out of us because we're broken on the inside. And we stop believing somewhere along the way how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And we don't know that love. We left it, right? And that God can actually do measurably more than I could even ask or imagine. That's how much he's for me. I could just say it in 100 different ways. Lord, I want to ask you, as I'm saying these words, I'm asking that both now and in the future, you would tell everybody from their heart in a myriad of different ways how lovely they are, how good-hearted they are, how accepted they are. And especially the dads here who have made mistakes maybe, gone the wrong direction this way or that, but Lord, they need to fall in love with you. They need to know your love, how much you highly you think of them. Maybe their own dad didn't think so highly of them. And they got that yakking in their ear all the time. But you, you're different. You're a different dad. Lord, I pray right now for all the dads in the room, because it's Dad's Day, but all of us, that you would have power together with all the whole Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Lord, I pray you'd impart that to us, because if we get that, we're going to be powerful in blessing other people. And the power of a Father's blessing is going to be coming out of us. The reason why we don't do more blessing is because we don't feel the blessing ourselves. We feel small and insignificant, feel like we failed or whatever. But a man walking with God hasn't failed. When you get right with God, you have become an instant success, and your tongue becomes like lightning. Now, what you say and how you bless people makes a big difference. You've got something in the Lord that you know about by faith, and you're trusting them, and you know you have the power to actually do good in the earth, right? As God imparts his love, we become fathers and mothers. Jesus' experience and teaching show us the way. We read him in these passages like Mark 1, 9 unto 11. Jesus is being baptized. He's the Son of God. And guess what happened? This is for our benefit, by the way, and his. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you am I well pleased. That's the Father blessing the Son. Even the Father bless Jesus, and Jesus needed to hear that voice. You're my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Did he not know that? He needed to hear his dad say it. Dad, your kids need to hear you say it. It's so important. Even in our relationship between the Father and the Son, we see this demonstrated so vividly, right? Luke 6, 35 to 38. Love your enemies, he says. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful as your Father is, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use will be measured to you. Fathers, measure out good blessing, good things to your wife and your children, to those around you. Because it'll come back on your head. It'll be given back to you. Not just a little bit, but good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Oh, the power of a father's blessing. You bless and you get it back on your own head. You forgive and it comes back on your own head. Oh, these laws of the universe are so powerful. We need to move beyond simple guardianship into fathering, not just being over people, but being fathers and spiritual mothers and fathers. I'm writing this not to shame you. This is 1 Corinthians 4:14. But to warn you as my dear children, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you'd not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your Father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I have sent you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, who remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. This is important even in our relationships. There are some people that will become sons and daughters to us, and it's by the ordering of God, not even our natural sons and daughters. Some relationships that come to us that are just unique, that somehow God's put it together and they're like spiritual sons and daughters. Lord, I can see faces and I look at you and I know a lot about you guys. There's a lot of you that are fathers to children that are not your own. And some of you have fathers you don't know, but have been nothing but a blessing to you. You know, it's funny, as I get older and I watch people die, I think about what they did in their life. I think about who they were in the church. And when I look at some people and I see, I recognize the people they used to bless. And when I talk to those people, they say, yeah, I didn't see it as much as I see it now. They were a father to me. They blessed me so much. They took me in that hard time and they helped me get past it. Oh, man, if we could all just sort of see and look around. Sometimes God assigns people to us just to be fathers and mothers to in the Lord. You who think you're getting older, you're not getting older. You're getting wiser. And you're not only getting wiser, but if you could learn the power of being a father and a mother to someone else, to just look up to them and be a blessing to them without anything in return. Just go over and say something nice to them or give them something nice just to encourage a young person, someone younger than yourself. Just to do that and be like, make that your mission. Don't be insecure about your age. Be secure in your age. And not only in your physical age, but in your age in the Lord. Some people carry this so beautifully. They bless people as they get older. It's just so nice. They serve them. They encourage them. And young people, all people need this. And then turn, guess what's going to happen? They'll grow up and do the same. This power of a father's blessing, a mother's blessing, goes far beyond the boundaries of a church. I mean, the boundaries of a family, into the church and out from the church into the world. There's nothing more beautiful than a mentoring relationship, even in the world. I watched the success of some people. I ran across a young man the other day, and I realized his success was because someone took him aside and taught him a trade. And he's been successful his whole life, but he traced it back to that one guy who took time and has turned to a blessing, and now he's doing the same thing with other people, other younger people than him. Oh, this makes the world go around, the power of a father's blessing. Spiritual fathers, you know, and fathers. And listen, if you're at odds with your children, or maybe a spiritual son or a spiritual daughter, or vice versa, you know, your odds with them or their odds with you. Just listen. Don't worry. Just try to get it done as best you can and fix it as best you can. But I tell you what, everybody notices when you humble yourself. And everybody notices when you become a blessing. and you start blessing each other. Everybody notices that. All of us, no matter how bad it's been. And I just encourage you dads and moms, no matter where you've been, how long you've been estranged, I just encourage you, now is the time to get back. Now is the time to humble yourself. It's okay. Your Father God's with you when you do it. And even if it makes you look small, and even if you feel like you're confessing more than you should or whatever, I don't know if that's really true. The whole point is, when you humble yourself before another person, either as a father to a child or a child to a father, it's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing, because you are made to bless one another, especially as believers. You are made. Just the fact that you know Jesus Christ, what comes out of your mouth is a blessing. Oh, we're all aware when a fellow believer says something nasty to us. But when somebody says something kind to us, how do we grab that? How do we get a hold of that? Do we grab that more than we do when somebody says something nasty to us? When somebody says something kind to us, we should receive it. Think of it as a direct arrow from the Father and with power to change your life. This whole thing of giving away the Father's blessing, maybe we should say, is such a real, powerful thing in our day. I like what Henry Nouwen says at the very bottom of your outline. He says, I am destined to step into my Father's place and offer others the same compassion He's offered me. I like that. That's your destiny. On this Father's Day, not only for dads, moms, everybody, brothers, sisters, I am destined to step into my Father's place and offer others the same compassion He has offered me. We love. Why? Because He first loved us. Amen? Let's all stand. Now, the vineyard was born on Mother's Day. People have made a lot of significance out of that, that it was born on Mother's Day. It actually happened. It was really born on that day, one Sunday. Right. An explosion happened, right? And that explosion keeps reverberating. Lots of things like that happen in the kingdom of God. I'm not sure if they even registered at that time what it was going to mean. But looking back in history, that was a time when people were gathered together like this. And the Lord brought a blessing, right? An incredible blessing. And it was on Mother's Day. And I just think today, on Father's Day, why couldn't the Lord bless us today? You know, I know, dads, you got to go do things. It's really important. But wouldn't it be something if we just blessed each other today? Just for a moment, we took a time and we blessed each other. So I'm just going to do something. Just real simple here, because I know that we have some great stuff outside if you want to stay and eat and hang out with us and with the children and everything. But I'm just going to give just some general words. We call them words of knowledge, maybe. Hopefully they're insight for people who need a specific thing, okay? And what I'd like to do is I'd like to be the body of Christ. And if you see a person, raise their hand that's standing next to you. And we'll just take 5 minutes to do this. If you see a person right next to you that they respond to this by raising their hand, then just remember that. And you might, even if you're a perfect stranger, just step over to them and pray for them, okay? And we're going to bless each other today. We're going to give away our inheritance to each other here, even if it's a perfect stranger. All right, so here's the first one. If there's anybody in this church today that is in constant pain or semi-constant. In other words, pain is something you wake up to in the morning. Pain is something you're experiencing because of an injury, some kind of condition. And it's been with you a while, and you would love to get rid of that pain, whatever it is. Back injury, some kind of condition in your body, but you experience pain. So if that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Now, if everybody in this church, if you see a person standing there, you could put your hand on that person near you and pray for them. We're going to release the Father's blessing to them. Keep your hand up so somebody, and make sure everybody has somebody praying for you. All right? Now, here's another one. Who in this family today has a son or a daughter that's not doing well? If they're not doing well, raise your hand. All right, see the hands that are up? Make sure someone that's got their hand up has someone praying for them. Look around. I want you to be a blessing. Keep your hand up so they can come to you, okay? Find someone. There's one in the back that doesn't have anybody, okay? A son or a daughter that's not doing well. Keep your hand up. You guys, this is a powerful moment. If you have a son or daughter that's not doing well, raise your hand, for heaven's sake. Raise it. Let somebody come and pray for you and be the part of the body of Christ to you. All right? If there's someone here in this church right now that is in desperate need of a job, you need a career, raise your hand. Lord, I pray anybody that's in that place, raise your hand. Lord, every person, I release the fathers, but keep your hand up so somebody come over. Make sure you look around. We're going to be a blessing to each other, right? Lord, I pray right now. Listen to my mouth now. I pray that this Sunday morning, a career would be created. A career. A new job, a new way of functioning, a new way of making a living will be created in this room right now by the power of one person praying for another one. If you hate your job sucketh, so to speak. It's not the right fit for you. Raise your hand and let somebody pray for you to find the right one. Okay? And keep your hand up to go like that till somebody finds you. So over here, there's somebody. Over here. Now, Lord, if there's anybody else that needs a blessing, you need just a blessing. I haven't mentioned it yet. Put your both hands up so we can find you. You need blessing. Look, we got five people back there that need a blessing.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.